We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm coming to you here with Jason Pat. And Jason, NBA free agency has gone through its first 24 hours at this point, and the Bulls have not made a meaningful acquisition. The Bulls have signed one player to add to the team. That would be Andre Drummond, 2 years, $6.6 million deal for Drummond to join Chicago. Beyond that, the Bulls, as expected, brought back Zach LaVine. It's something that we shouldn't just quickly overshadow. Bringing back LaVine is huge for the franchise. There is no way they were going to be able to replace a player of his caliber if he did leave in free agency. So he gets a five-year, $215 million deal from the Bulls, player option on the fifth year. But Jason, it is hard to be too impressed with this Bulls offseason so far. Drummond, the only acquisition. We already saw them miss out on Rudy Gobert. He gets traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves for 4 first-round picks and Walker Kessler, who just went one spot behind Dalen Terry in the 2022 NBA draft. A massive haul of picks for the Utah Jazz. And for Minnesota, an opportunity to pair Rudy Gobert with Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. So it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out. The Bulls absolutely could not have matched that package. And it doesn't seem like the Bulls are going to be players for Kevin Durant. Durant's intention is to either go to the Heat or the Suns. We don't know if the Nets are going to accommodate that. I think that, you know, we could easily see a scenario where Durant gets traded to the highest bidder, which I didn't think was really going to happen going into it, but now it seems much more likely. So I need to take an L on that one. But in general, Jace, just a super disappointing offseason to this point for the Bulls, and we're going to talk it through on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. At first, starting with Zach, absolutely great that he is back. Fantastic. Was starting to get a little worried. I know it was reported, like right at the start of fantasy yesterday, that from Shams that Zach would might not sign right away. And then he didn't. And then like you're getting into the morning today, it's like, all right, what's going on? Like, is there something going on here? But no, Zach, like you said, 215. He earned it. He deserved it. Good that he's back. The player option thing, we kind of figured that would happen. So yeah, Zach back, excellent. It's the least that they could do here. And then, as you said, it's really just been a whole lot of not much else going on here. You mentioned Andre Drummond. That was the one deal they made last night. They brought back Derek Jones Jr., which I did not expect to happen. I think basically the same deal as Drummond. Drummond signed for part of the mid-level. It looks like Jones probably signed for part, like using like some type of bird rights. I know there was some funky cap stuff going on there. We don't need to get into that, but it was a very similar, another like 2 year, like $6.6 million deal. I did not think Jones would be back. I thought they were going to replace it didn't seem like Billy loved Jones last year. I thought they were going to maybe use his spot on a shooter. We saw them miss out on Danilo Gallinari to the Boston Celtics. I was kind of whatever on that. Like, if the offseason was basically Gallo and Drummond, I mean, that's two okay veterans. They would have been fine. Not very inspiring. But even now, maybe now it looks even, I guess, worse. Like, I we'll see what else they can do. They have the rest of their mid-level. We'll see if they use it. We've talked a lot about the tax, if they're going to try to duck the tax, here, if they have anything else in the works in terms of trades, in terms of trading Coby White, in terms of opening up other roster spots, because right now they have 14 players. They've made, like I said, one addition. It's Zach, one addition in Drummond, and then one re-signing here in Derrick Jones Jr., which I did not think they were going to make. It's not an inspiring offseason when we see Kevin Durant's going to change teams, go somewhere. Rudy Gobert just went into a blockbuster trade. As you said, the Bulls had no chance of matching that. I was banking a lot as things going on, though, maybe with the Bulls rumors being involved with Gobert, that maybe they would get in on that. Just didn't happen. The Timberwolves went all in on it. They traded four picks and a bunch of players. Bulls couldn't match that. Even if they included Patrick Williams, I just don't see that. This probably just wasn't likely. But then we also saw Malcolm Brogdon going to the Boston Celtics, an absolute steal. The Celtics gave up basically nothing for – I know Brogdon is an injury-prone guy, but their one, like, issue was just all those turnovers in the NBA Finals and throughout those playoffs. Brogdon, one healthy, great shooter, solid defender, doesn't make many mistakes. Absolute steal of a trade for the Celtics. Brutal to watch. The Sixers adding P.J. Tucker, who they wanted. They added, I think, Daniel House, I think on their biannual. Was James Harden taking a lot less money to help them with be more flexible? So they got better. We'll see what happens with Miami. I know Miami's on KD's list. If KD goes to Miami, that's kind of a that's obviously brutal. So just the Bulls kind of not doing anything, and the AK with the continuity line, he ran it a bunch of times in the offseason, and it looks like that's what is going to play out here. They're going to roll with continuity. They're adding Andre Drummond. Maybe they add one more player. Maybe they will surprise us still, but not very inspiring given how the season ended. I know they had a bunch of injuries. Zach was injured. Lonzo was injured. But also, Lonzo's injury. We don't know what the hell is going on with his knee. So, like, if we're banking on basically bringing back the same team plus Andre Drummond and then Dalen Terry, a rookie, I just guess you don't really know how much better the Bulls will be. When other teams have made moves, I forgot DeJounte Murray going to the Hawks. They made a big move. So it's just like, where exactly are they going here? They're banking on this continuity to help and better health to make them better. And I still think the Bulls will be pretty good. Like, I think they'll be fine. But in terms of like making meaningful moves towards contention, it just hasn't happened. And it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I would be a lot more fine with where the Bulls are in the Eastern Conference right now if they weren't already out two first round picks. You know, they don't have their 2023 first rounder. They don't have their 2025 first rounder. So given that, it feels like they should have just tried to maximize this current window and built the best team possible around DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. And the Bulls haven't really done that. Instead, they basically opted for continuity, which is what Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley were saying, you know, throughout their end of season press conferences. It just feels so uninspiring, though, to completely run it back, right, to not add another player. Now, obviously, the Bulls did go after Danilo Gallinari. They made an offer to Gallinari, but he chose to go to Boston. So even a Gallinari-Drummond offseason, to me, was going to be super uninspiring and wasn't going to move the Bulls up a tier meaningfully in the projected standings. You look at what else is out there in terms of the free agents, and still, I don't really think that any of the free agents who are still out there, the Martin twins, TJ Warren, who hasn't played since 2020, Jalen Smith, Josh Okogie, you know, I would love to see the Bulls sign one of these guys, but even if they do spend the remaining $7.3 million or $7.2 million of the mid-level exception, you know, I just don't see them being in position to be favored to win a first-round series. I think there's four teams very obviously in front of them. That would be the Bucks, the Heat, the Sixers, and the Celtics.
Boston. Yeah.
So, in general, I think that, you know, the Bulls are in a tier with probably the Raptors, the Cavs, and the Hawks. And how that shakes out from 5 through 8 in the conference right now is anyone's guess. But like you said, the Bulls have a major question mark in Lonzo Ball. They have Patrick Williams entering basically his second full season of play, his third year in the league. That's really where the upside of this team lies, in the internal development of Pat Williams and Io, and in, you know, potentially Lonzo staying healthy, but it's not a very good bet in terms of, you know, trying to win a first round series. So I think it's definitely a disappointing offseason for the Bulls right now. There's no other way to spin it. And yeah, I mean, this is what it is, man. They were true to their word in terms of continuity, but I just don't see how that's good enough unless we get a really meaningful leap from Patrick Williams. It's a ton of pressure to put on his shoulders.
Yeah.
It's also something to count on DeMar DeRozan, you know, being as great as he was last season, which is probably a stretch, man. Like, DeRozan just never missed shots in clutch games. I think Milwaukee sort of put the book out on how to defend DeRozan, which is basically, listen, this Bulls team once again this year has no shooting. They said they were going to add shooting over the offseason. They didn't add any shooting. All they do is bring on Andre Drummond and bring back Derek Jones. Like, this is a team that finished 30th in three-point rate last year. They're not going to be able to get up shots to contend with the better teams in this conference. They're not going to be able to come back from big deficits with a lack of shooting like this. So unquestionably a disappointing offseason. I still think the team will be fun to watch, but yeah, it's hard to feel good about the Bulls right now, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as you said, the Pat thing, and I've been saying this for a while, it's the Patrick Williams thing. There's just so much swing on him. Like, if he takes like a big leap, then the Bulls maybe be able to get into that tier. I have my questions about that happening. And then the stuff about the shooting. The shooting is also obviously true. That's why, like, I don't mind. I liked watching Derek Jones Jr. Shy slam a jam. Like, he was fun at times last year, but, like, we also saw him, like, in that Bucks series when he was playing and other times. Like, teams just don't guard him shooting threes, and he bricks a lot of threes. And, like, a lot of the roster was like that. Javante Green, I thought they were going to pick between Javante and Derek Jones Jr. I like both guys in a vacuum. Having too many of those guys on one team and, like, possibly playing meaningful minutes, it's tough. And, like, so, like, you're banking, again, yeah, Lonzo, Zach, Pat, and then Vooch being your three-point shooters, and with Lonzo's question marks, Zach should be fine as long as his knee's all good. Vooch, if he was a horrible three-point shooter last year, can he get back to at least, like, league average, hopefully? And then Pat has to take a big step. He's got to be much better. Io the same way. But then again, they drafted another dude in Dalen Terry, who's also not known as a shooter. So, like, it's a bunch of, like, similar guys like that. And you made the joke about on our free agency preview pod about how the Bulls are cornering the market. And it's all these, like, wings who just can't shoot for shit, and that's kind of what a lot of the roster is now. So more pressure on those other guys to be able to carry that three-point load. And then they bring in Andre Drummond as a backup big who can't really shoot either. He's obviously a great rebounder. Drummond will help with the rebounding. I don't know if I'll enjoy watching him very much because he's just kind of a big oaf, but, like, I mean, he will help with rebounding. I don't know how much he'll help with rim protection. I know our guy Cody Westerlund tweeted out his not great rim protection numbers last year. He puts up box score stats. He's fine as a backup. There's just really no upside there. And with how this offseason is playing out so far, I wish they would have gone harder after someone with a little more upside. I know, and we talked about guys like Isaiah Hartenstein and Mo Bamba. Like, I mean, I don't love Mo Bamba, but I'd almost rather have taken a shot with the MLE using on a guy with upside than what's happening right now and getting, I mean, I guess we'll still see if they make any other moves here or if they just add like a minimum guy, but like Hartenstein went for what? It was like 2 years, it's like $8 million a year to the Knicks. Like, the Bulls couldn't beat that to be a backup five who with upside to be a starter. Like, it's just like disappointing. And then going with Drummond, but part of the MLE instead of the minimum, which the part of the MLE they used was like just over his minimum. So like that was also kind of bizarre. They gave him a 2 year deal. They did the same thing with like Tony Bradley, 2 year with a player option. And now they have Tony Bradley's contract taking up a roster spot because he has a player option and he opted in. Like, just a lot of, I think, poor stuff on the margins right now. And it's just definitely disappointing. Kev, I know you are very disappointed as well. Let's let it all out.
Yeah.
Go for it. Have at it.
I mean, it's same old bullshit with the Bulls, man. Like, this is – it all stinks of Jerry Reinsdorf to me because giving – not actually being willing to spend the non-tax MLE because it'll take you into the tax potentially – is just the kind of shit that we've always seen from this ownership group, and that's why they weren't competitive for guys like Hartenstein or Mobamba, and why they have to give an extra $600K to Andre Drummond instead of just giving him his minimum. And it's just, you know, it's just they're not willing to actually spend to have a winner. My theory now is that when Karnišovas and Eversley were hired, is that their mandate was to get the Bulls back into the playoffs, get the playoff revenue back, and continue to not pay the tax, so that they can get all that taxpayer money from the actual teams that give a shit, like the Warriors and the Clippers. And now it looks like the Celtics are going to be paying pretty decently into the tax, and the Bulls are just, you know, profit maximizing and not actually giving a shit about winning. Like, they have no chance, in my opinion, of being a home court advantage team in the playoffs now. The Celtics got way better. The Sixers have gotten way better this offseason. The Bucks were way better than the Bulls, and so they didn't really have to do anything to get better than to be better than the Bulls, since the Bulls didn't do shit. And the Heat are still way better and might go get Kevin Durant, because that's just what Pat Riley does. He goes and gets stars. And, you know, the Knicks got better. The Cavs got better a little bit. I think that the Hawks got better. Yeah, and the Raptors got better. They added Otto. Like, Otto,
the Herder trade was kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, the Herder trade was weird, but I don't know. Justin Holiday is probably a slightly better defender than Herder, and they're trying to get defenders around Trey. But I just think that the Hawks are definitely better than they were. The Raptors were better than the Bulls last year, and I see no reason to think that they're not going to continue to be better, because they have, you know, Scottie Barnes, who I expect to get a lot better. So it's basically the Bulls are pinning everything on Pat being, you know, becoming a superstar like overnight. And like, I'm pretty skeptical about that, especially because the Bulls coach is not a development guy. He's a, we're going to try to win right now guy, and has refused to give Pat the ball. And instead has him stand in the corner and take his, you know, long ass three-point loading shot. And, you know, that's not developing him in any way that's going to get him to be a star. So they just don't really seem to have a plan beyond be a playoff team and duck the tax, and that's it. And I think if you look at it through that lens, it's pretty clear that that's what happened. Andre Drummond, he's whatever. He's fine. But now the Bulls have three centers, and I don't think that Drummond is, like, way better than Tony Bradley. So what's the point? And bringing back Derek Jones Jr. is just, like, again, why? Like, Billy doesn't even really trust him that much. He constantly was in the doghouse, and he can't shoot. So, again, what's the point? What are we doing? There's no plan. It's just garbage.
My hope for Derek Jones Jr. is they're bringing him back to trade him. But yeah, to Kevin's point, I mean, the Bulls potentially have $7.3 million left to spend in the mid-level exception. $3.5 million is where they are from the luxury tax. So it's going to be a fucking joke if the Bulls don't spend that entire $7.3 million. When you got a team led by DeRozan, when you got your 23 and 25 first-round picks already out, you have to try to maximize your opportunity to be the best team you can be in. For the Bulls, that big move wasn't really out there, at least for, you know, a potential Gobert trade. They were never going to be able to beat Minnesota on that. But, you know, if you're rolling with Pat, then you absolutely have to use the rest of this mid-level exception. I think not doing that is super horribly lame. So I don't know when Derek Jones can be traded now. Does he have a full no trade clause? What do you know about that, Jason?
I can't remember if I saw that he can veto or not. I feel like I saw someone tweet that. I can't remember the exact rules for that kind of stuff. He might be able to, whatever, veto any trade. So I don't know. I mean, he's only making, it'll be, what, $3 million this season? Whatever it is, $3-some million. I don't know. That was just a strange move to me because of how like he was in the doghouse, because of just how the roster is set up with all these like non-shooting guys already. I just thought for sure that they were going to use his roster spot on some type of shooter, whoever. I have no name for you like at all. Just like I figured they'd use his spot on someone who can shoot better, but they didn't, and he's back for right now. So I don't know.
Yeah. So I say the obvious move right now is sign TJ Warren. Right. He hasn't played since December of 2020. He's had multiple stress fractures in his foot, but at least he has a little bit of upside to give you some scoring because, you know, you look at this Bulls roster and they just don't have a lot of scoring outside of the three stars. So they got to use that $7.3 million contract that they have.
They're not going to, though. They're not going to.
It's bullshit, though. I mean, that should be the fucking bare minimum we ask from them. Is to spend the rest of that mid-level exception.
They also have that $5 traded player exception. Obviously, if they use the mid-level, they get hard cap. They can't use all of the, they can't use full the rest of that seven, and then also use that five. I think if they use the rest of it now, they are probably like maybe $3 or $4 million. And obviously, if they use, I think the next guy they get is 15, puts them at 15. But again, they are using roster spots right now on Tony Bradley, on Marco Simonovic. So that's like a couple of just totally wasted spots, which is unfortunate. They want to make more moves. Obviously, we'll see if they make other if they trade somebody else, they dump somebody. And they could always trade Tony Bradley for like garbage to get him out of there, and Simonovic as well. But right now, I think they have one guaranteed roster spot left.
Yeah. So my first thought here is that the Bulls just really don't have any assets right now. Like if they were going to trade Patrick Williams, that's probably the most appealing asset on the team. You could potentially trade Io. There is definitely some positional and skill set overlap between Io and Dalen Terry. So if you were trying to, you know, acquire a meaningful piece for next season, you know, maybe ship Io out. But the Bulls are very much taking a super conservative approach. It gives you Garpax vibes straight up. And that is the worst thing I could possibly say. So
yeah,
I'm hearing that that Arturas Karnišovas is just Lithuanian John Paxson. That's what my sources are telling me.
I don't want to go that far, but like this is, someone mentioned it in the comments here. Where was it? Our friend Kirk Heinrich here. Time to reassess AKME. Right, one interesting offseason. 21 does not make a good front office. These other deals and lack of deals or cap mismanagement, very concerning. Sort of inactivity is what we came to expect from Garpax. Fortunately, Paxson still works for the team, and Reinsdorf still owns it. Yeah, I mean, obviously last offseason was great. Getting Lonzo, getting DeMar, getting Caruso was awesome. Drafting Io. You can argue, obviously, that they shouldn't have given up too much for DeMar with the extra pick and Thad. Obviously, the Vooch trade we've talked about, definitely gave up too much for him. And then, I mean, their first offseason was signing Garrett Temple, and that was drafting Pat, signing Garrett Temple. That was it. Then they traded for Vooch, made that other small trade as well. And then last offseason, great. And then I think what makes this more also disappointing, again, is also someone else mentioned this as well. Yeah, Kirk Heinrich again, that they did nothing at the trade deadline either. So, like, Troy Brown Jr., like we talked about, maybe you trade his salary. Maybe you trade Derrick Jones Jr.'s salary at the trade deadline for something. They didn't do anything at the trade deadline, and now they're doing nothing now. That's two like big.
Yeah, but yeah, only way you can make those trades is if you have ownership willing to spend. Like,
yeah.
Keeping Troy Brown's salary slot only works if you're willing to spend, and they're fucking not.
That is absolutely true. Which is obviously that goes up to ownership and something we have been talking about forever, and it's really frustrating. And I mean, at this point, like if you're AK, you just got. I mean, I don't know. Advocate for yourself. Like, hey, we have to do this if we want to compete. I don't know, but like if they're really that stingy about like not paying the tax, it's obviously ridiculous for a big market team like the Bulls to be so stingy. But it's been their MO forever. They were stingy when they had a dynasty. They've been stingy throughout the years, and it seems like they're being stingy again. And it's just really, yeah, it's definitely frustrating to see this type of inactivity when they were better. They were super fun. They could have possibly made maybe interesting moves to, even on the margins to get closer to a title, and they just haven't done anything yet. They didn't do anything at the deadline. Haven't done anything now besides Andre Drummond. It's not impressive. It's not when you see, I mean, other teams, and obviously, like, we don't want them to go out and completely do hog wild stupid shit. Like the Gobert trade is pretty wild, what the Timberwolves gave up for him. But like, they believe in Anthony Edwards and Towns. They now have Gobert there. Like, I don't know how good they'll actually be, but like that team is, that franchise has been miserable forever. They're done being shitty and like playing through the draft. They're going for it. So like they gave up a lot. Kudos to them. And AK obviously did kind of do that with what he's done in the last year or two. And you don't want to be like totally reckless, but like this is like the exact other extreme, just doing absolutely nothing. So like
what I find so frustrating about this, Jason, is it's not like they don't want to pay the tax. I mean, obviously they don't want to pay the fucking tax, but really the bigger part of it is they want the charity from the Warriors and the Clippers, because the rest of that tax money gets redistributed, split evenly among teams. I think like 50% of it gets split evenly among teams. And for the Bulls to be asking for a handout like that is just absolutely fucking pathetic. Like, especially when you have a team built around a 32 or 33 year old in DeRozan and you got two future draft picks out. You should absolutely be mandated to go into the tax to build the best team possible, given your limited assets. And speaking of those limited assets, I also wanted to say that, like, this is the cost of overpaying in a lot of the other moves. Like, they way overpaid for Vucevic. The Magic made out like absolute bandits in that trade, being able to get two first-round picks, one of them number 8 overall, turns into Franz Wagner. And then they also had to make the Bulls take on the Al-Farouq Aminu contract, which when the Bulls acquired DeRozan, they trade Aminu to the Spurs. And to take him on, the Spurs made the Bulls give up another first-round pick, 2025. And that doesn't even bring up Wendell Carter, who might be better than Vooch right now and is on a super team-friendly deal, I believe 4 years, $50 million. So just like their lack of flexibility in terms of what they could potentially trade right now was limited by Karnišovas fucking up on the margins. And, you know, you could point to the Markkanen trade as well. Like, if you get Larry Nance back in that deal, the current roster is a lot better. Instead, they have this lottery-protected Portland pick. Even though I like some of what Portland did in getting Gary Payton II, I went through the teams in the West. They're the 9th-best team in the West still, I think. I think there's 8 teams pretty clearly in front of them. So, just fucking disappointing from the Bulls on the margins. Like, basically everything Karnišovas has done has either been excellent or terrible, or the jury's still out on it, right? Like, getting Caruso and Lonzo was excellent. Getting DeMar was excellent, but it sucks that they had to include the 2025 first-round pick for him. Getting Io in the second round, excellent. But then beyond that, he's pretty much fucked up every deal, it seems like, to me.
Yeah,
so,
I'd say last offseason was basically totally a home run outside of, yeah, including that extra first for DeMar. Everything else has been, like, at the time, I mean, I'll admit, at the time, the Vooch trade, Vooch was putting up 25 and 12. The Bulls were just in absolute no man's land. I talked myself into that being fine. I liked the idea of what they did getting him. They needed, with Zach's agency coming up, they needed to do something. They needed to bring some talent. And it was either doing something like that, or you trade Zach and you just tank and do whatever. So, like, since they wanted to, whatever, keep Zach, help build around him, help bring him back, you make that move. They probably gave up too much there. I mean, they did. The answer is they did now, for sure. At the time, it didn't seem as bad. I'll be kind of maybe wrong in the moment. In hindsight's 20/20, but it definitely looks rough now when you're giving these high picks the Magic and Vooch is declining, and we'll see where it goes from there. So yeah, it's not the best spot. Like I said, I don't want to be like totally doom and gloom here, because if they stay healthy, they should be a very good team. But they are, once we get into playoff basketball.
Are they a very good team?
I think they're still pretty good. I mean, Zach and DeMar are still really pretty good. Obviously, this does also banking on DeMar being at least close to what he was last year, and maybe that's
just like
wrong.
At best, the 5th-best team in the East, though. Like at best, they're the 5th-best team in the East.
I understand. I'm not saying like I expect them to be title contenders. Like, I think we got a big over our britches when the Bulls were the top seed at whatever game 60 last year. I think they caught some breaks at points early in the season, and obviously everything went against them with the injuries and health and everything like that. But if they somehow stay healthy, which again is a huge question, because we don't fucking know what's going on with Lonzo Ball's knee. They say he's out rehabbing in California, that the reports are okay, but like, I don't even think he can play a game right now still. So like, that is definitely, we're talking about if they stay healthy, and they're just his issue. Zach had knee surgery. I'm not too worried about Zach's knee surgery, but if they stay healthy, they can still be pretty dang good. But obviously, again, then that also requires Pat to be take such a huge step. And Kevin, I know you are not a believer in Pat doing that. I myself am also skeptical. I don't want to say he can't do it. He just hasn't shown that much just yet. But it's going to be, as of right now, there's going to be a lot on his shoulders to just make a huge leap into being an impact player, which he hasn't been yet. And that's going
to
be
just quickly to say something about my thoughts on Pat. Like, I like Pat. I think that, like, in a different setting, Pat, and obviously without losing a year of his development because Mitchell Robinson is a goon, you know, things might be different for him. But I also just think that the Bulls are dog shit at development. Like, who have they developed in the last decade? Like, Lauri Markkanen comes here, does nothing. Wendell Carter comes here and looks like dog shit, goes to Orlando, immediately looks way better. Kobe White hasn't developed. Same guy that he's been the entire time. Like, who has developed here? And, like, Zach doesn't count because Zach's first few years in the league where he made his biggest improvements were in Minnesota. And also, Zach is, like, an outlier psycho work ethic guy and seems to have a good sense of, like, what things he needs to improve on to be the best version of himself. Pat is, like, not in the right role for him. He definitely should have the ball more. He should be getting short roll decision-making reps. Like, they haven't done any of that for them. They just stuck him in the corner and said, here, go defend the toughest wing assignment and just stand in the corner on defense. I mean, on offense. Like, that's not his game. He shoots the ball way too slow to be your, like, Mikal Bridges type. Like, that's not who he is. And so I think that, like, this idea that he's going to develop into a star, it's like maybe if he was somewhere else, but not here, not with Billy Donovan, who wants to try to win every game in the regular season and not actually work on getting him better, not with that guy. And, like, I don't know. I just don't understand what the plan with Pat is other than to just hope and pray that somehow he becomes a star, even though we're not giving him star-making reps. It doesn't make any sense.
A few points. Lonzo, if he still can't play a game today when he got hurt at the end of January, that's an absolute disaster. Like, when you go through potential Bulls lineups that they could put out there, it kind of all falls apart without Lonzo. Like, they already don't have any shooting. Even if Lonzo plays 82 games, they don't have much shooting. But when he's out, that is super troubling for them and just their ability to put out two-way lineups. So one other point I wanted to make was that Carter Chauvis was totally in a compromised position when he got hired because Garpax left the franchise in such a bad position. I do think that has to be noted. But at the same time, you know, do they really have to pay up that much for Vooch? Now, I think targeting Vooch was a totally fine move. I can see the vision there without question. But, you know, giving up two first-round picks, your best young player, and taking on a bad contract, I mean, that's a lot to get that deal done, right? And obviously that deal is like a grand slam for Orlando from their perspective. It made them bad enough to get the number one pick this year too, so it looks even better on them. What I was going to say too, and Kevin echoed these sentiments, is that there's a ton of pressure on Billy Donovan this year, I think. Now, the team looked really good when they were fully healthy last season, but Billy couldn't really find a way to save them once Lonzo went down and you know, they just had so many injuries throughout the rotation. So I think there's a ton of pressure on Billy this year. If the Bulls pull off everything immaculately, they can get the 5 seed, and it'll be a fun team to watch, a fun team to root for, and it'll be a bummer that it doesn't feel like they have any realistic upside. But, you know, Billy's going to have to find a way to make these pieces work. He's going to have to find a way to get Pat in a position to actually grow and develop this year. I agree with everything Kevin was saying. That's what I've been preaching on this podcast for a year, is that it feels like Billy tries to make him Mikal Bridges when Pat's better with the ball in his hands. And obviously, when you got a team built around DeRozan, you need everyone around him to space the floor, hit, catch, and shoot threes. That's the weakest part of Pat's game. So Billy's got to figure out a way to get more out of Pat. And there's just a ton of pressure on his shoulders this year, I think. So, you know, do we really expect the Bulls to stay fully healthy when they had so many injury problems last year? Can Caruso play, you know, 75 games, 30 minutes a game, when he plays like an all-out maniac on the floor, plays with so much effort, emotion, energy? Is that style of play conducive to being a durable player? Because the Bulls need him to be a durable player, and the Bulls need him to become a better three-point threat than he's been to this point in his career. So Billy's got to find a way to make it work. They still have a major shooting deficit. And, yeah, you know, it's just too much reasonable upside in this team.
They said that they needed to get a rim protector that complements Vooch and shooting, and they did neither of those two things. Drummond can't play with Vucevic. He's a backup for Vucevic, and he's like maybe one of the better backup centers in the league, but like he cannot play with Vooch. It's not like you could, like, when people were talking about Mo Bamba, like theoretically, because they can both shoot, you could see the vision of like maybe Mo Bamba could play with Vooch. And like Vooch is burly enough that he can handle the heavier guys, and Bamba is like the weak side guy that just kind of comes over and blocks everything at the rim. But Drummond can't play with Vucevic at all, yeah. Like ever. That's not going to happen. And then their other wing move is bringing back Derrick Jones Jr., who
can't
is
shoot.
Just not a shooter, yeah. Not a guy that teams ever – like he's a small ball five, really. Like that's ideally how he should be used. And can't space. Like they have no shooting besides Lonzo and Zach and Kobe, but Kobe is so bad on defense that you can't really play him.
Yeah, they have like they have a bunch of guards and then like five centers and no real wings. No, which I guess they need Dalen.
What is this roster construction? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, that's why I thought the Derrick Jones Jr. deal was just bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
They had no backup plan when Gallo fell through. And that, yeah, to me, is pure Garpax. That's like our draft board ran dry at number 30 when you got the number 35 pick or whatever it is. Why not turn around and make a play for TJ Warren? And Warren's still on the market.
Yeah, they could still
do that, but there's definitely no momentum building towards that. Why did they immediately lock up Jones so quickly when Jones and Javonte Green are very similar players, right? Like having both those guys on the roster at the same time is not really helping you. So
yeah, I know KC brought up TJ Warren as a possibility. I don't know if that was just his opinion or if there was like sourced, like informed speculation with him. I know that apparently there are major health question marks with TJ Warren. He hasn't played in basically 2 years. His foot, might still not be in great shape, but like whatever. I guess if you're signing to the minimum,
the scuttlebutt is that TJ Warren's medical is fucked, so that might be why he's not signed.
Right, but like sure. I guess, but like if you're signing him to the minimum, like maybe it works out. If not, whatever, you fucking cut him and you sign somebody else. Like, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's really anything else in the works. If they do, I mean, so yeah, like I wouldn't mind bringing in Warren. If it seems like he probably isn't going to get what he wants, so like maybe he would be available at the minimum. Maybe that is something they can still look into. It again, if it is the minimum, again, it doesn't work out, you cut bait and he's done. Besides that, like, say that again?
Martin twins.
Yeah. We had somebody mention that. Yeah. Are they restricted, both of them? Or are they, I'm not sure their situations. I would guess one of them's in what, Miami and the other one's in Charlotte?
Yeah.
I would guess that they're both back. I don't know. Miami bringing back Oladipo. Obviously, Miami's also in the KD business. Although apparently KD says he only wants to go there if Jimmy Bam and Lowry are all still there. I don't know how that's going to happen, but he probably just wants to go to Phoenix. But
I really need DeAndre Ayton to sign an offer sheet with the Pacers so that it totally ruins the Suns' ability to get KD. That's the chaos that I need right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but Martin twins. But I guess with Charlotte, I mean, if who the fuck knows what's going? Miles Bridges probably shouldn't be playing. Should not get a new contract. Real scumbag. I would guess they bring back which Martin is on the Hornets. Is that Caleb or Cody? I don't even know. I would guess they.
Caleb is the one on the Heat, I think.
Okay,
I believe that's right.
Caleb is the one on the Heat. Cody's the one on the Hornets.
So Caleb's
the better one because he shoots more threes.
Which one is?
The one on the Heat. Caleb shoots shoots threes at volume. Cody shoots them at about the same percentage, but he shoots way less volume.
I guess, yeah, it was the Heat. They, whatever. We'll see what they do with, like, Duncan Robinson. If they don't get KD, see what they do with Duncan Robinson. Maybe they try to move him and then get Martin back. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, they need to get some type of shooter there with the fifth, with that last roster spot, unless they do something else, make other moves. We had other people just commenting. I was going to bring that up. Abe suggested Bo Cruz. That's obviously Juan Hernan Gomez. I'm pretty sure he just kind of stinks, right? I feel like he's been bouncing around. What do you guys, have any opinion on good old Bo Cruz?
No, that's not doing too much for me. I'd like Jalen Smith, maybe. He was a lottery pick 2 years ago.
I guess the problem is just another center. Like,
yeah, for sure. But he could maybe play some four, but you're right. He's a straight big man.
Okay, he needs some wings.
That's why I mentioned the Marley Boys.
Dump Tony Bradley. I guess that you could bring in Jalen Smith. Replace Tony Bradley with Jalen Smith. Sign a shooter. I guess you could do that, something like that. The other thing that Abe suggested, with Bama gone, could the Bulls make a move for Isaac? I want no part of him. His injury problems and all the other off-court stuff with him, he just seems kind of weird. Seems like he'd be a vibe killer.
He's on a fat contract, too.
Yeah, right, exactly. Big deal, horrible vibes, and hurt all the time. No thank you, Jonathan Isaac.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys have anything else here? Any other ideas for what the Bulls can do?
Well, I mean, make a trade. I do think that teams are probably going to be tanking for Victor Wembanyama in the middle of the season.
I mean, we know the Spurs are, and I am curious, like, what if there's been talks about? I mean, they got Drummond now, but and I would assume they're not going to trade for Poeltl, and like, I guess you would have to probably trade Vooch then, because you're not going to roster Vooch, Poeltl, and Drummond, or maybe just. I don't know, but I mean that was a move that another move that I thought would have been interesting was another guy who could have maybe even been a replacement for Vooch down the line, but doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Listen, you got to use.
That's the one thing that I want to know too is like, what's the plan with Vooch? Like, he's an expiring contract this year. I don't really want to pay Vooch his next contract. Like, he seemed to be declining pretty precipitously last year from where he was, and seems to struggle with like. Being in a smaller role. So like, are they going to trade him? Is there any value for like out there for Vooch, or is he just an expiring contract? Cause like, I don't know. I just don't know what the plan is, especially because if you lose that salary slot, the Bulls are capped out because of DeMar and Zach pretty much off the bat.
Do we think they would like try to give him an extension just to be able to trade him at some point? and get better value.
That's what I'm kind of thinking, but like, what is even like a good number for him to where he's like a movable contract? Because if you give him too much, then like, if he stinks again this year, you know, he might still be a negative contract if you extend him.
Right.
I don't know. The loop situation is like scary.
Yeah. I think you got to risk it with him. Let him play for his next contract. He's in a contract year. So maybe he puts up better numbers than last season. He hit 31.4% of his shots from three last year. If he can even get up to like 34%, that would make me feel better about the Bulls' chances at the five seed and still losing in six games in the first round. But that would at least be, you know, a meaningful improvement for him. So to me, you got to use the rest of that mid-level exception. And then when teams start tanking in the middle of the season, because they want to maximize their shot for Wembanyama and for Scoot Henderson, you got to have some contracts to throw around in a trade, take on salary, and pay the luxury tax. And you're the fucking Chicago Bulls. You don't deserve to get the Golden State Warriors in Los Angeles Clippers money. You are their contemporaries, not their like little brother who doesn't have enough money to compete. So at the end of the day, you got to spend that money. And I'm pretty upset that they couldn't find a way to either get Hartenstein or Bamba. Like, I had talked myself into Bamba, even if he kind of stinks. He at least had some upside and filled two of the biggest holes in the roster to give you a chance to compete. Now, what do you get? 2 years, $21 million? Why couldn't they give him 3 years, $31 million or something? You know, maybe Bamba wouldn't want that. Maybe he wants to get back in the market.
There were rumors that he wanted to come here. I think that was Cowley who said that, but Cowley claimed that Bamba wanted to come here. The Bulls would not give him the money he wanted.
Well, I think they should
have. I don't know. Who knows how true that is, but that was what Cowley claimed.
Well, if they had given him the money he wanted, they'd be in the luxury tax. That's the problem right there. Cause he got 10 million a season. That's the full non-tax MLE.
Right.
That would have put the Bulls in the luxury tax, and they don't want to pay the tax. I mean, that's what it is. It's pretty obvious at this point.
Yeah. And just to be clear, I'm recognizing that, and I'm saying it's not good enough, and it's garbage.
Right, yeah. Like, as much as they don't want to do it, we're going to keep fucking hammering them to say that it's ridiculous if they don't want to do it. Even if it seems obvious, right in our face, that's what the plan is to not go in the tax. Yeah. Fuck that. No, it's ridiculous.
Absolutely, continue hammering them. I got my Twitter account locked today for telling Jerry Reinsdorf to commit seppuku and called him an old raggedy bitch, because he is an old raggedy bitch, and he needs to shuffle off this mortal coil expeditiously.
Oh, God. I will say about Vooch, though, his tweet about after the Gobert trade was pretty funny, talking about glad he didn't get hit by his house and whatever he said, by his house in Salt Lake City. Glad my offer for the house I found in Salt Lake got rejected then. Vooch, good guy, decent player.
A true poster's poster.
Yeah, good poster. That was funny because I know there were the rumors before, I think like even before the draft, Vooch and Gobert had like a bat little back and forth on Twitter talking about them. It was kind of funny. And Vooch, obviously great post there after this trade. I don't want to hate Vooch. I like most of the guys on this team, like individually, like they're, most of them are like easy to root for. Like Zach and DeMar are dope. Lonzo's cool, Io and Caruso, like all really cool. So I really want to love this team. It's just they need to be better. They're just not good enough, and they just need to be better. And I'm just not really right now. I'm just not really sure what happens. Like other possible. Like, what do you guys think? I know we've talked in our DM chat about like Miles Turner, and like Miles Turner's like the idea of Miles Turner is way better than like what the actuality is. He's complained about not getting touches in Indiana, and he sure as hell wouldn't get them here. And I'm pretty sure even if he did get the touches, he's not good enough to actually capitalize on them. Like, he's a 3-and-D center for sure. But like, you do wonder, like, would that type of player be a better fit for the Bulls, for having that defensive presence and a guy who can shoot pretty well from three? I'm not sure what it would take to get him. Again, the Pacers just traded Malcolm Brogdon for basically crap and a first round
nothing
pick
at all.
Right. Yeah. So like Miles Turner's been on the block for seemingly 3 or 4 years or like forever. I wonder what they are looking for him. Like, would you do that? Like, do you think that's even worth giving up stuff to get Miles Turner? I know you mentioned the Ayton thing. Like, are they going to do like a sign and trade? Or I guess I don't know how that's all going to work out. KD and the Suns with Ayton. Like, if Ayton wants to go to Indiana, get a max, like, does Turner go to the Nets, or does he go to this? Like, that's all kind of fucked up, and we'll see what happens with KD. But like, I don't know. But, like, what do you guys – I mean, what would you want to go after Miles Turner? Any interest there?
Nah. Miles Turner, to me, is the most overrated player by NBA Twitter, like, going right now. I think there's a reason that he's constantly on the trade block and
– And is never traded.
He's never traded because nobody – everybody kind of sees what he is. Like, he – I mean, he's fine. He gives you good – like, pretty good rim protection. But he doesn't rebound, which really undermines the value of that rim protection because it's like if you force missed shots but you don't get the ball, you know, that's no good. And then he's not really – like offensively, he's just kind of nothing. Like he shoots threes, but like fine, cool, I guess. But like he's not as good a basketball player as Nikola Vucevic. And like maybe you say like, hey, the fit being better because he's a good rim protector you know, makes it so that they're like kind of in the same tier, but like then you're just like swapping deck chairs, and like I'm not really interested in that kind of a move. And honestly, like I think he's probably still worse even with the rim protection in terms of fit, just because Vooch is actually a good defensive rebounder and the Bulls like were a terrible rebounding team for most of the year, and that was with Vooch like boxing out two people at once all the time. Because they just don't have any they don't have any big wings.
They could trade Miles Turner and play him and Drummond together. I'm sure that'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, all right, so, like, I don't know, just no good.
My one thought looking at this roster right now is they just got to go all in on transition because their half-court offense is going to be so mucked up by the lack of shooting and lack of spacing. Like, unless Patrick Williams and Io and Caruso come back with, like, really significant improvement as shooters, I do think you can, like, somewhat reasonably buy into Vooch being slightly better as a shooter. He could also be worse, though. It's like just as realistic that he could be worse. But they got to go all in on transition. Like, this has got to be a team that sort of plays a frantic style that tries to turn you over, pushes the pace on the other end, gets
that requires Lonzo to be not dead.
And yeah, like Lonzo is going to need to be out there. Now, we didn't think we were going to get anything from Io last season at this point in the offseason. Currently, I don't really think the Bulls are going to get anything from Dalen Terry because Terry doesn't really fit any of their needs, which is needing to put another shooter on the floor. But Terry is a good transition player, very good transition passer. So maybe, you know, he helps you get out and transition a little bit more. Again, I don't expect him to play a big role this year, but could be wrong about that. Maybe he will. They certainly need guys his size, just at 6'7" with a 7'1" wingspan. That would be good. How about someone like Dante DiVincenzo, just to get another guard in the mix? I think you might be able to get him for that $3.5 million, which, again...
Yeah, he's still out there unsigned. Like, I would take 7.3. Sure.
Like, no, they need to spend 7.3. They
I
need
feel like Dante would get more than 3.5, right? I mean, he's still young. I know he was bad last year for both teams, but, like, before that injury with the Bucks 2 years ago, like, he was really solid. And he was their starter at the two, right?
Yeah.
Am I crazy there? Wasn't he starting for the Bucks before he got hurt?
I believe he was.
Yeah, and he was pretty good. Like, I looked at his numbers last night. Like, they're not great, but, like, they're at least solid. And, like, he can
– Yeah, he was really important for that Bucks team that won, like, 60-something games.
Yeah, I think he just got hurt at the beginning of the playoff run, their finals run, or, like, right before it or something like that. Yeah, in here, I think three – I don't think 3.5 is going to be enough. I think they got to use either the rest of that mid-level or most of the rest of that mid-level to get him.
So then he's out because we have a broke boy owner who is piece of shit.
Hey, as someone noted in the comments, our podcast name Cash Considerations continues to be relevant. So Brian's here. Thank God Brian's here. I've been enjoying
what's up?
Brian's tweets the last couple days. Brian, as you know, Kevin's all doom and gloom. Jason and I are disappointed, see some fifth seed upside, but we're still, you know, underwhelmed by this offseason. Right, how are you feeling right now?
It's hard to be overwhelmed by it. Like, I don't know. I'm annoyed, but the Gobert thing, for a while it seemed like they just weren't going to trade Pat, but now it seems like that doesn't matter. Like, that wouldn't have mattered, so that's fine. But I am banking all of my enjoyment on this season on having Justin Lewis on the team because I love Justin Lewis because he's cool.
Yeah, we were letting you cook.
Lewis, one of the reactions. I love Justin Lewis. I don't think it helps. I don't think if he plays, which I think he probably could, two-way guys get some burn. And he is, importantly, a big wing. He's 6'7", 240.
He can shoot, too, right? Like, yes. He's got a jumper, actually. It's like he should play. Actually.
He's very streaky. Like, he'll have his, like, 0 for 8 stretches, and then he'll have, like, a 5 for 10 stretch as a shooter. But, yeah, he's kind of a transition player, too. I don't think he helps your half-court offense, and he's not actually, I wouldn't say he's good at defense, but he is 245 pounds with a 7'2 wingspan, and he likes hitting people. I think it's more just, like, a coordination thing. Like, he just isn't – some guys aren't as good at moving defensively as they are offensively. But I'd love him vibes-wise because he's cool. And I think, importantly, he is now not counting Drummond. I'll count Drummond. There's, what, 3 guys on the team who will knock people down and try and, like, chase rebounds around. So, yeah. And Javonte can't do that the entire season. His body will explode.
Brian, you are known as a sicko at deep cut NBA players. So if the Bulls are going to spend $3.5 million, if they're going to spend $7.3 million, which they should, or they're permanently trash, who would you like to see them try to acquire to fill out the rest of the roster right now?
I wanted Howell Neto. But you know who's out there, who I actually really, really like? PJ Dozier is out there. He is cleared medically to play, so I would take a shot at PJ Dozier.
How about Culver?
I don't think he's a real shooter.
Culver's out.
I might be out on him. I loved him, but I think I might be out on Culver.
Wayne Ellington, there's some shooting.
Yeah, I like Wayne. I mean, the thing with PJ Dozier is if he's recovered from his injury, we know he is at worst like a 10th man in the NBA. Like, we know he's a capable NBA player. I don't know if we know that about Jarrett Culver. Is Jeremy Lamb out there? He might be out there.
I think he's out there. I was looking at unrestricted free agents the other day.
I was going to say, I totally forgot about Jeremy Lamb. I was actually looking him up yesterday. I feel like he just kind of sucks now. I think he's always had a bunch of injuries. It just seems like he's kind of – I think he was on the Kings last year. Because I, like, totally forgot about him. And then I think I saw someone bring him up. I was like, oh, yeah, Jeremy Lamb. He used to be pretty good. And I think he's just
Tony Snell's out there.
That's right. I think someone mentioned Tony Snell.
I would not
Which would be hilarious. Totally cursed offseason. Andre Drummond and Tony Snell.
Langston Galloway.
Still shoots a high percentage, even though he doesn't shoot enough threes.
Yeah, it's rough. Garrett Temple, I guess, is out there.
I
don't think Garrett.
Coming full circle to Acme's first offseason, bring back Garrett Temple.
Wait, did he get cut? I thought he was on like a 3-year deal.
I thought I read something he might get cut. Maybe he's not.
I know he was part of the Lonzo sign and trade. I thought he was like on a because he weirdly got like a 3-year deal as part of that, which was really strange. But
honestly, I'm fine with this point, we're obviously
scraping.
Yeah, Mello.
Oh yeah, hold on, Mello. Yeah, go sign Carmelo Anthony. I mean, we know he can still get buckets and shoot the hell out of the ball. At this point, I laughed when Ricky tweeted about that the other day. Why not? If that's going to be like your 15th man, he'll be the minimum probably, maybe a little more. Why not sign Carmelo Anthony? Like, who fucking cares at this point?
I have one guy that I personally love who's coming off an injury, but there's no way they should sign him because he does none of the things they need. But I want Edmund Sumner to be back in the NBA. I love
that. Yeah, that would fit right in with their guards who can't shoot.
He's basically just
guards who can't shoot and run the floor like maniacs.
What if Dalen Terry was old and tore his ACL twice? So they're not signing him. But I think the thing, I think some optimism to be had, I think the Bulls think Dalen Terry is a Halliburton-style player. Like, I that's just the assumption I get from how they talked about him. I don't think I agree, but one of the positives, if that's not going to be positive in the playoffs, but one of the mitigate shooting is just having really intelligent passes properly and quickly. Like, Dalen's definitely that. But that requires, like, good cutters.
Yeah, you revisited him, right, Ryan? Like, you were looking back at more of his tape the last couple of days and getting a better sense of him.
Well, I didn't think he was going to be in this draft until, like, 2 weeks ago, really. I thought he was always going to go back. I don't know why. I just assumed he would because I figured it was the Halliburton thing. Like, I figured he'd go back to a team that lost like its main 3 scorers and would become like the main player. But I guess they're just going to run through Azulis Tubalis at Arizona or whatever they're doing. Who cares anyway? Their conference is dead. It's been slain by the Big Ten. Hail. I think Dalen has, like, he doesn't have no upside as like a, because there's the negative, like, you don't like super low usage college players, but the positive is if they become high usage college, like if they up their usage, they can become like more interesting scorers in the NBA. I don't know. And you know, there's also the hope that spending all their, like, Io and Dalen and all these guys spending all their time with DeMar DeRozan will mean that some of his insane shot making can just trickle into their bodies and they can become, because Io was starting to take those little pull ups in like April. Take those little like 16 footers. I love those. I wish he would do those more.
Yeah, because I do think Io can get better. I think Pat can get better for sure. I mean, Pat's never averaged double-digit points per game in his three seasons from Florida State to two seasons in the NBA. Now he only played, what, six games or whatever this year?
Yeah.
I don't count that. But, like, realistically, how much can Pat score a game this season? If he averages 15 a game, are we super thrilled with that? Obviously, you're looking for more than just pure points per game. But I think the Bulls could use some scoring punch. Because outside of the three veteran stars, they don't really have a ton of scoring punch on the team. So they could
– they have
either Pat Kobe, or Porter.
They have Kobe once every 10 games.
Yeah,
and I still think Kobe's probably going to get traded, but it's tough to trade him because they don't have any other shooters on the roster. So
The Io thing is interesting because, I mean, he was a big-time scorer at Illinois. And like, you talk about that little pull-up like that. Like, he made his bread and butter was that shit at Illinois. Like, he would hit that shot at the end of games all the time. He was a stone cold, like, mid range killer at Illinois. So, like, but he seemed to be afraid of it, like, to start the season. He definitely did start to show a little more comfort being more aggressive offensively. They need him to be. Like, I just keep saying that. I just don't want Io turning down shots. Like, be aggressive offensively. He was a great offensive player in college. I know that doesn't necessarily mean he would be great in the NBA, but definitely would like to see him be a little more aggressive taking those types of shots, like Brian said.
So the last 2 years, Pat last year in his 17 games, 13.1 points per 36 minutes. You got to figure that he's probably going to play a ton of minutes this year if he stays healthy. Can he score 15 points a game? Am I asking too much for Patrick Williams to score 15 points a game?
I mean, he is.
Is that realistic?
I don't know. I hope. Even if – the thing is, I think the positive with him, even if he's just going to be their spot-up guy, he is the second-best – like career. I think he's the second-best percentage shooter on the team. So, like I think he can – I think I'm pretty
confident – he's a volume.
I'm pretty confident he's a good three-point shooter. It's just, like, how much can they get out of him? Because he's 51% last year in, you know, 400 minutes, but that's not nothing.
The thing with Pat's shooting is just – he just has to speed up his
– yeah.
His mechanics, because like
teams don't care about him, and he takes forever to shoot. Like if teams care about him,
yeah, teams can close out to him without worrying too much because it takes him so long to get it off, and like that's also why he record scratches so much. I think because he's like, oh crap, my shot's gonna be blocked.
You know what? What doesn't help that is breaking three bones in your wrist and having to relearn how to shoot. I just this is offhand; it was his guide hand, but that still is not good. But he did have, I mean, look, his last kind of in the playoffs is. Let me look here.
The game three was the one that he had like the disaster. It was like 0-for-10, and then the last two he had a lot more shots.
He scored in double figures 8 of the last 11 games, including the playoffs. So like, he was becoming more consistent with that.
So his usage rate in the regular season, again, only 17 games, 14.2%. That's really, really low. Yeah. In the playoffs, though, it was 16.9%. I'd like to see him at least 18% usage.
Yeah.
Like, at minimum, 18% usage. And then Io, thing about Io that's jumping out about a statistical profile, 16% turnover rate. Pat actually only had, like, an 11% turnover rate. You want that ideally under 10%. I would say, I'm sorry, Pat had a 12% turnover rate. So Pat does a decent job of limiting turnovers. Io, that could be a big thing for him this year. Obviously, everyone's going to look at the shooting for Io of where he can make an improvement. Also, cut back on some of the turnovers. He was a rookie last year, played a lot of minutes because of the injuries, but I would like to see him do a little bit better job taking care of the ball. And, you know, in general, in Io, they could use some scoring punch from him too.
It's going to have to be internal, I think, is the takeaway, which is depressing. But, I mean, Pat had that Minnesota game. I don't really count because it was against a bunch of scrubs, but it was nice to see him just try to get to the line a bunch the regular season.
Yeah, it was the only time he had the ball the whole year. His whole career was the only time he had the ball.
Well, that summer league.
True.
Yeah. They just got to figure out a way to just, like, get his mindset to be just, like, always – just always be aggressive. Just don't hesitate.
I don't want to say they should bench him, but, like, I think –
can they just, play him more minutes with the bench units and let him cook, for fuck's sake?
More than benching him, I think just, like – I mean, I think most Bulls fans would not be uncomfortable with Javonte being, like, the spot starter who comes in for 5 minutes at the start of the game.
Well, hold on. Actually, talking about moves, John Collins still out there? What would it take to get John Collins if you want to, like, get a starting power forward and you move Pat to the bench? What would it take? What do we think it takes to get John Collins? If you guys even want that.
I'd be fine with John Collins.
Yeah, John Collins is fine, but they don't have anything to offer. What are they going to give up? A lottery?
Right, no, like, I'm curious.
It would have to be Pat or Io and Kobe.
And, like, the Blazers.
And I don't think Kobe actually, like, is a plus asset. Like,
that's
And you got to get the match. You have to match like $25 million there, I think, or something like that. I think that's what Collins is making. Like, I think he's on $5,125. So you got to put together some salary there, which would probably be Pat, Kobe, and do you trade Pat for John Collins? Probably not.
Yeah.
If you're hesitating on Gobert, you're not going to trade him for John Collins, I'm assuming, but. Which is, that's just a problem. Like, you probably have to, like, trade Vooch to match that salary.
John Collins Vooch front court would be an absolute disaster class defense.
Yeah, it doesn't fit into what they need. Now, if they would have got Gallo, who I wasn't jacked up about them getting Gallo, I thought that would have been a pretty disappointing offseason to get Drummond and Gallo. Now I'm like, well, at least Gallo would have provided some shooting. He can't really move. But
the problem is, you don't know how long he's going to play.
Right, he's hurt every year.
For sure, absolutely. But the problem with Pat's projection is that Pat isn't a good fit with DeRozan, it seems like. Now, I'd like to see lineups with Pat and LaVine as, like, your 1-2 when DeRozan's off the floor. But they need guys who can play with DeRozan, and to be a guy to play with DeRozan, you got to be able to shoot. They don't have any shooting. So they got to figure out a way to do that somehow, together some sort of package to
guys. I know they love playing DeRozan with a bench unit. It's like, I do wonder if they, like, try to give Pat a few more reps where, like, he leads bench units. And I don't know. Like, if you're talking about giving Pat more on-ball reps, you're not going to do that when DeRozan's leading the bench units. But maybe you give Pat some of those instead, change up the lineups. Like, that's obviously just going into where Billy's need to figure this out. And you need to use the regular season some to at least try to develop him, because otherwise, if they do just use him as the spot-up guy, just those on-ball reps just won't add.
Yeah, if they can get DeMar maybe playing fewer regular season minutes, lean heavily on a Pat, LaVine, and Lonzo trio, I think that could be pretty interesting. You could put Io or Terry in those lineups. You could put Drummond in those lineups. And then, you try to just keep the miles lower on – DeMar, and then you let DeMar take over in crunch time when you go. The closing five is set, right? The closing five is going to be Vooch, Zach, DeMar, Caruso, Lonzo.
And that, but again, is good.
All these lineups fall apart if Lonzo's not healthy.
Yeah. I think more than just Pat, but I think it's disingenuous to say it's just Pat, because I think they probably see Io becoming, like, a good shooter. And I understand. I think he can shoot. This is why I really wish they had distracted. Like, nothing against Jalen Terry. I think he'll be fine. But I think there was better options out there.
I mean, someone like Christian Braun would have filled a more immediate need for the team. Christian Braun went 21. But obviously, AK has a type. And it's just, like, a long, versatile, athletic wing. You got to figure, like, Terry should have a pretty high floor, I think, just based off his combination of positional size and athleticism, especially if they're playing him at guard. Like, he's going to be able to smother smaller guards. He's basically – I think he's built like Penny Hardaway, right? Like, 6'7", 7'1" wingspan. I believe that is around what Penny was at.
So just to have that size, good athleticism. Now, in half-court offense, I don't know how much he's going to provide you there, but he does provide some passing. He fits into the team's need or desire to play in transition. So I'm hoping that that gives him, like, a relatively high floor. But, yeah, you could see someone like Braun just sliding into half-court offense next to DeRozan. And to me, that is sort of the troubling thing right now is, like, the lack of shooting is just going to make DeMar's life hell in the half-court late in games.
DeMar loves it, though.
Yeah, he loves it, and he's Superman. And I wouldn't be shocked if he can have another really great season. Like, I'll just say, I think he's going to be an all-star again this year. I expect him to be
an all-star. His game should age well. I mean, his footwork is immaculate. I mean, he just has so many tricks. There's no reason to think he's going to, like, all of a sudden fall off a cliff.
And I mentioned this on Twitter, and this somehow got some blowback, but hire a fucking shooting coach. You keep drafting these athletes who aren't confident shooters. Why are they record scratching when the ball gets swung to them and Io and Pat Williams are turning down open looks? It's because they don't think they're that good as shooters. Hire a shooting coach. That's how they get some confidence. And the Bulls make, what, $300 million in revenue every year? Can they take that Clippers tax money that they're shamefully going to accept and invest it in a shooting coach? I mean, they don't need the Clippers money to be able to invest in a shooting coach. So, just do that anyway. But especially when your organizational philosophy is to draft toolsy guys with athleticism who, you know, shoot good percentage on low volume, fucking get a shooting coach. This is unacceptable.
Seems illegal to not have a shooting coach, honestly. It's like not having a batting coach.
Yeah. How are you an NBA team where, like, the point is to put the ball in the hoop and you don't have a shooting coach? That sounds like shouldn't be a thing.
So if you're going to bank on internal development and you're going to do this because you're acting like broke losers who won't pay the luxury tax, then at least beef up the developmental staff. Now, they've done it a little bit since Karnišovas took over. They, you know, the front office is bigger now than it was before, so that's a good thing. And they have hired some people on the player development end, but hire more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't understand how you don't have a shooting coach. Like, it's insane. Like, it really is. Especially, there is no salary cap or luxury tax for coaching staffs. So stop being cheap fucking broke boys.
Well, we all got a moment of silence for Jerry Reinsdorf as he had to pay out the first $100 million contract of his life.
Yeah. He's owned two teams for how many years?
We did not bring that up that Zach's contract is his first $100 million contract. Unbelievable.
Justice for Paul Konerko. Unreal. In the White Sox.
For Paulie, for Jimmy, all these guys.
Why are we surprised that the man who brought back Tony La Russa is not willing to do what it takes to have the Bulls live up to what should be their worldwide brand as an elite basketball organization? Instead, they're the fucking Lake Michigan Indiana Pacers.
But speaking of the Indiana Pacers, apparently I'm reading right now this Brogdon first-round pick that they got is top 12 protected for one season, and then it becomes a second. So it's basically a second-round pick. That's fucking insane.
They traded him for nothing.
Well, no, I mean, the report for Brogdon for the last 8 months has been he's basically been sitting on their curb with a four-owner sign on it. Like, they couldn't give him away. And it's nothing – it's unfortunate because, like, he's a good player. He just –
it's hurt all the time.
Legs are done. Like, he's toast.
Wait, but if it's top 12 protected, the Celtics are going to pick like 27th. So,
oh yeah. Well, either way, like, still, it's. Yeah, I think I read that wrong. Either way, it's basically garbage. So I guess they somehow fall apart. Whatever. It's a late first and nothing else. I totally read that wrong, but I'm an idiot. But either way, they'd be still basically. I mean, the Celtics are a team that can. Whatever, take that chance because their rotation is set as it is. So, like, if he's
just keep him in bubble wrap.
I think the Celtics are pretty low on the list of teams that could collapse and fall into the lottery this year. Like, I don't see how that's possible. The whole team would have to get injured, you know, like Jalen.
Brian, I already went on my TJ Warren rant before you came in, but I saw you wanted TJ Warren too, yeah. So. You know, give us the pitch on why TJ Warren is worth $7 million and Jerry Reinsdorf should pay it, or
be branded an eternal loser.
What if there was a power forward size guy who shot floaters from like 16 feet out? That would be cool, right? That's TJ Warren. I love TJ Warren. I've been a TJ Warren guy for like 9 years now, because he was one of the most singularly strange college players, like college stars of the last decade, because he was like an elite scorer in college and he only took mid-range shots and floaters and weird runners, and he was completely unstoppable. It was great.
And he just got better and better. Yeah, I remember him from his NC State days too, but he was phenomenal in the bubble.
Before he had his 3-point percentage was really good.
I don't know if he's healthy enough to play, but if he can pass a physical, sign that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, if his medicals are crap, whatever. Give him the minimum. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't
work out.
That's
probably what's going to happen. He's probably just trying to get a real deal. You know, you got a couple months, so. Yeah, TJ, though, he's a good example of why you should trust touch. Touch is a good indicator for someone being able to shoot eventually. Because that guy was not a three-point shooter in any way when he came into the NBA. Now he's become a good one just because he can shoot. He knows how to do it.
Well, sign TJ Warren or Martin Twin. That's where I'm at right now. But I don't know, Jace. I feel like we can wrap this up.
Yeah. My brain is mush, as evidenced by my completely botched reading of that Brogdon draft pick. Anyways, yeah. You guys have any final thoughts here? Otherwise, we can wrap it up. Kevin, you have any final thoughts? Brian?
Fuck Jerry Reinsdorf. That's my final thought.
I think that is definitely a constant theme that we can say here, hence our name, Cash Considerations, is fuck ownership, Bulls ownership. Please go pay the tax. We'll see if anything happens here over these next few days of free agency as it goes on. Obviously, I think our expectations are pretty low. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. But right now, this has been a pretty bummer of an offseason. We'll see what happens with KD. Assuming KD is not coming here, obviously. It sounds like he wants to go to Phoenix. KD is... that whole thing with the Nets is a joke. It's kind of funny that it blew up.
Yeah, KD now running... At least there's one team in the East that is not going to be.
That is nice. Like, we'll see what the Nets do there. I'm curious to see what return they have.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, what they do with Ben Simmons. Ooh, who knows? Like, Brian, go ahead. Seemed like you wanted to say something about the Nets there.
I was just making fun of Ben Simmons. But no, like, you can't trade Kevin Durant and get equivalent value for him. It's not possible.
Right, obviously. Like, even though all the picks in the world you can get, like, it's fucking Kevin Durant. No one's going to be wind up being better than Kevin Durant. That is one good thing. The Nets will probably fall. I mean, the Nets were worse than the Bulls last year, but they're a team that will likely not be jumping the Bulls, hopefully, as we assume. So, we'll keep an eye out for that, see what happens with that trade. We'll see if the Bulls make any more moves. Again, they have 14 guaranteed deals. One more to do. We'll see if they stay under the tax. They could go into the tax now and then get out of it later. Like, it wouldn't surprise you if they went in now and then salary dumped out of it during the season, unless they were like really rolling. But I guess we'll see. Thank you everybody for listening. Kevin and Brian, thanks as always for joining us. We always love when you guys join us on the pod here. So happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. And if there's anything big happens, maybe we'll be back to do another podcast this weekend. But obviously, with it being the 4th, I'm sure everyone's got stuff going on. But we'll see. Some Cash Considerations, a Chicago podcast. If you missed any of this, this should be up on our feed, hopefully sometime later tonight or overnight. So take it easy, guys. And thanks again for listening.